If you're new to Imago, welcome to a really weird, atypical Sunday at Imago. This is not normally how things will go, but if you're wondering what Imago is about, this is the perfect Sunday to be here. So today is kind of a mini Vision Sunday. We want to let you know what things have been happening, and more importantly, what we're looking forward to in the days to come and the months to come. So a little bit of preview for all that. So one thing I want to let you know about has to do with the scripture reading. We've been talking, especially in formation team, about how much we love the interactive part of Sunday morning when we would stop and say, so what do you notice about this scripture? What is God telling you about this? What stands out to you? And we don't want to lose that, even though we're kind of entering a season of hearing lots of different voices from lots of different people. So we're going to just add that in during the scripture time. So starting next week, each week after the scripture reading is done, we'll stop and we'll look at each other and say, what did you notice from that? What stood out to you? What is God saying to you through that passage? And we'll go around and just kind of share, and we'll just take just about 5 minutes to learn from each other. It's one of the things that we really value as a church. It's important to us, and we want to make sure that keeps going. So we're going to start that going next week. So just be ready for that, so don't be surprised when someone comes out with a microphone next week after scripture reading. That's what it's all about, right? So again, we're really glad you're here, and we're excited to share what we're looking forward to in the months to come.
All right, I get to kick us off this morning. If I haven't met you yet, my name's Christina Height. I'm here full-time on staff, serving as our outreach director and our interim administrative director. And I just want to start the morning by saying I love all of you, and I'm glad you're here, and I'm really looking forward to this next season. It's a big change around here, and we've got a lot going on. And we're going to continue to do the things that we know that we're about. So I just want to remind us, this logo up here that you see, maybe some of you know, maybe some of you don't, but those three circles represent kind of our mission here at Imago Dei. And so this is a season, I'll say what the circles are. They are spiritual practices, community, and mission. Those are the things that we kind of form our thoughts around, that we try to be about, and all things that we consider adding on, those are the things, the lens we're looking through. And so I think this is a season where we're going to grow deeper in our spiritual practices, draw closer in community to one another, and engage more fully in mission. And so I want to read a little passage about what that looks like as we are the body of Christ. So this is from Romans. For just as each of you has one body with many members, and these members do not have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts, according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. I don't think that's a comprehensive list of the ways that we are gifted in this room, but I am certain that we have all those gifts covered among the beautiful people of Imago Dei, and I'm looking forward to a season where we lean into those gifts, where we step into a new place of serving or encouraging or leading, whatever this season may have for you. And our leaders are here to come alongside you to figure that out. So I'm really excited about that. So you're going to get to hear from lots of our leaders today, and the first person up is Emily, and she's going to share with us. This is Emily Ambroso, been around the church a whole long, long time, so she's got lots to share with us this morning.
Well, good morning. As she said, I am Emily Ambroso, and I am currently heading up our leadership team. And so we wanted to take a few minutes and just get all of our leaders up here in front of you all so you can see their faces and kind of know some of those people who are putting a lot of time and effort and prayer and energy into shepherding this church into its new season. So we'll start off with the global leadership team. That's a small group that is kind of in charge of everything, or at least oversight of everything. So that group is Brian Holmes, and can you guys come up? I know it's awkward to stand, but oh well, you'll be all right. Laura Holmes, Chris Schaffner, and Eric Masters. And this group has spent hours upon hours finishing up the last season, preparing for this new season, and really just loves this church. And I'm so thankful for all of their hearts and their passion, but also their humility as they're leading this church into this new season. So just wanted to recognize them. Here they are. I also want to introduce our sub-teams that all feed up into our leadership team. You guys can have a seat, and then you'll both be back up at different times, so don't go too far. So the way our leadership team is structured, we have this group of five who is in charge of making global decisions for the church in conjunction with our staff and our other sub-leadership teams. And then we have a spiritual formation team, a resource team, and a ministry team. And those groups are all charged with more of the details of the different areas that they're in charge of. So the formation team, first off, I'll go ahead and bring you all up. They are in charge of considering the spiritual health and development of the church, as well as supporting our leaders, our church members, taking care of pastoral care things, and making sure that our staff is healthy as well. So that group is Brian Holmes and Chris Schaffner. Also Karen Walters, Lynn Carnabogue, Steve Harris, and Aaron Springer. Looks like we've got a few missing today. Good morning, Steve. We are. That is one thing that we do try to do is have a balance. We believe that God is represented in both male and female, and so we really try to strike that balance in our team. So again, here's the formation team. If you ever have any questions for any of them, I'm sure they would all be happy to speak with you. So thanks, guys. Our second group is our ministry team. They are in charge of providing direction and improvement to the ministries throughout the church. They manage volunteers, and they oversee both our community events, strengthening the body of Imago here, as well as our outreach events. So that group is Dustin and Christina Height, both of our pastoral staff members, as well as Laura Holmes, Eric Masters, Monica Lynn, Holly Earlson, Trudy Schaffner, Shelly Young, and Corey Brown. And apparently, I don't know where the ladies are this morning. Apparently, I'm missing something. It's a ring somewhere. That's right. So anyway, this group is large, but that just goes to show all the things that we do. We are not a huge church, but we really do try and support both people inside and outside of our body in a wide variety of ways, meeting people where they are at. So that's what this group is in charge of. So thank you, guys. And then lastly is the resource team. That team is by far the most exciting team. Anyone who's on the team will agree with you. In charge of the church finances and the facilities and the leaky roof and the bathrooms and all those exciting things. So that group is myself, Ashby Patterson, who does all of our bookkeeping as well. She's also our administrative staff here in the office. Doug Urbanek, Mike Tunis, and Landon Rommersberger, who's also not here. Probably not the best Sunday for us. Sorry, guys. Anyhow, this group is tireless in looking at all of the things that go on behind the scenes, all the things that nobody wants to have to think about when you're talking about church. We think about and we spend time praying for, and really are just trying to make sure that we're set up as well as we possibly can be to continue doing the ministry that we are called to do. So thank you, guys. And as we head into this new season, on behalf of our leadership team, we want to apologize in advance for the missteps that we know we will make. But we truly believe, as we've been reminded by past leaders, that God is leading this church. This is his church, and he has brought us through 10 years of people feeling unqualified and not knowing what the next step is and not knowing what to do. And we truly believe he's calling us into this next season and will uphold and sustain and just lead our church through all of this. So, thank you very much for your support of our leaders and for your support of this church. And yes, please just continue to pray for us all as we step into this new season.
So I'm going to give you a report on the search committee and how that process is going and what that process looks like. So as you know, we've been taking surveys from everyone and meeting with individuals. We were able to get responses from around 100 people, and that's not including people who are already on a leadership position that had lots of other places to share their input. So we are very happy with that response. So again, we came out to small groups. We had online surveys. We talked to you individually. We did as much as we could to hear from you. So it was good to have all that information coming in. We really wanted to make sure that the job description matched what you were saying about what's important to you about our church and what makes us us. So hopefully you got a copy of the job description on the way in, and if you didn't, there's lots of copies out at the information booth, so I hope that you'll pick one up. What we found was, when we were looking at what you said, we matched that up with what we put into the job description, and we found that we were not so concerned about an exact skill set. Teaching, obviously, was important, so that's a very specific skill that's crucial to this position. But we found that what you wanted was someone who believed and valued the things that you believed and valued. And the other parts we can work with. So they may not be super great at a particular area right now, but if they think it's important and they want to dig into it, that's someone that we want to work with. So as we were looking, there's the two questions that really helped us refine the job description was, what's the DNA of Imago?
we found that we really wanted to be able to explain to people, this is who we are. So the person who wants to come and connect with us can find us and come be a part of us. So as you look at the job description, I wanted to kind of share with you, here are the most commonly said answers to that who we are at Imago. They were all versions of this. And then each one is tied into the job description. So the number one thing that people said was they wanted that we are accepting of everyone, especially people that often get pushed to the margins. That came up again and again and again. Another thing that came up is that we were very service-oriented, especially to people outside the church. We take care of each other really, really well, but we don't stop at the walls of our building. We're very concerned about the community around us, and we want to reach out beyond that. Generous orthodoxy was crucial and very, very important. People said again and again, it's important that I have my beliefs and there's space for me when I doubt something, when I'm struggling with something, and that I don't have to talk to you in a way that makes you believe what I believe, but I want to understand what you believe. And so that conversation is really important. A loving community came up over and over again, a place where it's okay to let your mess out and let people see that and let people sit with you when things are hard and painful. Respecting tradition, but also doing things our own way. If you've been here with us long, we are a weird combination. We use the liturgical calendar, but then we do things our own ways. We celebrate Lent and Advent, but we always find our own spin on them. So combining the best of both those things was very important to a lot of people. And then meeting people right where they are in their spiritual journey. Again, that came up over and over again. So whether you're just starting out or whether you've been a Christian a long time, whether your faith feels really solid and gives you a lot of hope, or whether it feels like it's falling apart all around you, all those places are okay. And we want you to be here in all those places. So those all kind of went into the description of who we are at Imago. So when you look at that section, you'll see those reflected. We believe this, so we do this. We believe this, so we do this. And it all came out from one of those things that you said. The pastoral qualities that you wanted in our next pastor, again, I was very encouraged to see how many times the same things came up over and over again. One was just to be very clear that we are open to a candidate of any race and gender and sexual orientation. That is not a barrier to anyone that is the right fit for our church here at Imago. So that came out. And again, for leadership, we believe that and we hope for that. It's so encouraging to hear all of you saying that again and again and again. So that was really encouraging for us. One thing that was really interesting is so many people said they want a pastor who brings their intellect and their heart to their study of the scriptures. They really appreciate that we have a place where we learn the history and the context and the background, that our minds are important to our faith, just like our hearts are important to our faith. So that's a quality we want in our pastor, that they have an intellectual integrity and they believe in that. They have a depth of that. That came out a lot. The conversational learning, again, that was probably the one thing that came up more than any other in the entire survey. Everyone talked about they want to continue that conversation. They don't want someone who stands up and just talks at them. They want to be able to have it be that back and forth. We had a really funny difference. We had people saying, I want a preacher, not a teacher. And when people said, I want a teacher, not a preacher. And then when you would dig into that, you realize they were saying the same thing. They just were using different terms for it. But they want someone who is instructing them and challenging them, but also learning with them and being open to what we have to say too. So that was really, again, very, very common answer. So they want people who works as a team with the other leadership and the other staff. They want someone who's going to build connections to the city and our community outside of our walls. They wanted someone who was involved in the ministry of our church, but not having to drive every ministry in our church. I was really impressed by this because nobody was saying, oh, when the new pastor comes, she or he will do all these things. Or when the new pastor comes, they're going to take care of all these areas. That was not what came up again and again. What came up was we want someone who values these and will hopefully be a part of them, but will still support them even if they're not, you know, driving that ministry. So that was really good. So they just want someone basically who can be vulnerable and authentic. I love those words, and they were very commonly said. So we worked that in too. We just said very directly, we want someone who is going to be vulnerable, who doesn't have to pretend that they're perfect and they have it all together. So we worked that into the description as well. So all those things kind of played into that. And if you have questions about the job description, anyone on the search committee would be glad to talk to you more about that. But the process now with that, we've taken all that feedback that was for the search committee, but it was also for the leadership team. As we make decisions moving forward, we're always going back to that, looking at what's important to you and making sure our decisions match that. So now we've been pushing things out from this point. So we have two ways we're doing this. One is we're emailing specific individuals. We had 6 names that came to us from surveys from people in the church, but we've dug up 31 more names from other places that are being contacted, and we're sharing the job description with them. And we're saying, if you're interested, that's great. We'd love to hear from you. But if you're not interested, do you know people who are? Do you know someone who'd be a really good match for this weird and unique and beautiful place? And so the idea is that it goes out, but then also spreads to people that we don't even know about right now. So I hope they'll be passing that on and they can share that with us. So that's one of the ways we're doing it. We're also posting it at seminaries and job listings online. So far, 15 of those, and that's an ever-expanding number. It's a little bit of a challenge. We don't want to rule places out categorically, but you also want to make sure you're sending them to places that would be interested, if that makes sense. So we're trying to be careful with that. So we're looking at lists, like there was one like the 18 seminaries that are changing the world. That was a really intriguing place to start. So people that are being innovative and making those changes. So those postings are out as well. So we're kind of, the net is moving out in both those ways. And as things come in, we'll be ready to go. So for you to know the next stages, what will that look like as things come back? So stage one, we've asked for some different materials for them to send to us. So it's things like recordings of their sermons, blog posts, some writings, some things that will help us get to know them better. They're, you know, just basic resume things that you would expect from a job candidate. That'll be stage one. Then stage two, we'll be doing some back and forth with some more in-depth questions, asking them some positions on things, what do they think about different ideas. So giving them a chance to expand on their ideas in more depth so we kind of get a feel for who they are. Stage three will be more back and forth with the search committee and leadership team. It'll be like phone interviews or if they're close by, face-to-face interviews, getting a chance to know them better so we can do a good job of discerning, is this a person a good match for us? And then the last stage is to bring them here for a weekend. And the idea is that we'll have them meet as many of you as we possibly can in that one little time. So they'll probably be exhausted and blurry-eyed by that point, but we want them to have as much contact with you as possible through that process. So that'll be the people that we are really serious about that we have think would be a really good match for us. So that'll be kind of stage four. So all the way through this, again, we're discerning and praying really hard about what is next. We're still very excited about this possibility, about who the next person's going to be. And we'll be seeking your input, especially after that stage four. We'll be, again, talking to you and asking you what you think and trying to get your feedback. One thing that the original leadership of the church wanted us to reemphasize is Imago is not a church that's a voting church. So it's not a congregational vote in that sense, mostly because voting implies membership, and membership is not who we are. So we didn't want to have a qualification that you can vote if you've done X, Y, or Z. But that doesn't mean that we don't want to hear what you have to say. So there'll be lots of places for you to tell us what you think, to give us your feedback, and we take that very seriously. And we know that that requires some trust on your part, that we're really listening to you, and that we really care about what you think. And just me saying to you, we really love you and we care what you think, I know that's not enough by itself, but we really love you and we care what you think. And we're going to be asking you again and again and again to please tell us. And we take that very, very, very seriously. So all that thing that you share with us will be what makes our decision, and we'll be as open and transparent about that process as we possibly can. So we'll be pushing out a lot more information to you moving forward. You'll feel a little bit bombarded at times. But we also would love for you to come and talk to us. We're not going to wait for you. We're not going to sit in our office and say, well, come by and see us if you have any questions. But we really want you to come by and see us if you have questions. So as we push stuff out, please, please come and talk to us. Ask us, what did you mean by this? Why did you put this in there? And honestly, I'll probably have a reason why. The last time we went over the job description, I just have to tell you, we sat down and we spent like 15 minutes talking about a single word in the job description, which was a little crazy and ridiculous. But that's how much these people care about this church and how much they want to make sure it's being represented accurately to the people that are going to be coming to us. So that's kind of the process that we are. Just a couple of final things. One of the most beautiful parts of this process for me from talking to... I was so close. From talking to so many different people was the fact that we are so much more unified than we often think. Because of some of our seasons in the past, and because we are so careful about generous orthodoxy and we want to make sure we respect differences, sometimes we tend to fixate on the differences and we think about the ways that we don't agree with each other. But if you look at it, the vast majority of us agree on a vast majority of things. All those points that I shared, they didn't come up in just a couple people's. They come up in every single meeting. Every single person we talk to, we're saying those same things. So we just have this core of who we are. And that's a beautiful thing. The other thing that was really amazing is we are not a church of who we are not anymore. That's something that can be easy to do. You come from a place that you weren't happy with and you define yourself by what you're not. We do that, you know, relationally. We do that with our parents. We do that lots of places. And we're growing up out of that. And so the comments that people made were never, we're not like them. were not like that. They were always, we are this way. We are loving, we are accepting, we are challenging ourselves. It was a very positive and proactive approach. So I just want you to be encouraged by that. We're becoming a grown-up church, and that's a sign of it. And again, I am so happy to be a part of that grown-up church. So thank you for that. Thank you for your heart and your thoughtfulness and the way that you are growing into who we are now and not just reacting to what we came from before. That was a really good thing too. So again, we are excited about this process. We want to be as open as we can. So please come and talk to us as we will explain to you whatever we can about this whole thing. And we'll keep you updated. Again, we've been trying to be kind of respectful and not throw out tons of information all the time. But now you'll be getting tons of information all the time. So again, sorry about that. We get hit for the storm. So anyway, so again, thank you. And if you have any questions, please come and talk to us.
Me again. I am up here now just to give you a brief rundown of some of the things that our resource team is talking about and thinking about and doing. First off, a year ago this time, we were in a very different place than we are right now. We were panicked about whether or not we were going to be able to afford to pay our staff or to stay in this building and all of these things. And we asked of this congregation, and you all showed up far beyond what we even asked. And so I want to thank you all again for your faithfulness over the last year in giving and sustaining the work that we're doing here. So giving has been strong. We're on track to meet budget this year and all that. That said, heading into next year, there is a lot of uncertainty, not knowing what our staff is going to look like in 6 or 8 or 10 months, and not knowing what exactly some of the things that we're facing with this building. But we're working through all of those things, and we're planning, and we're thinking, and we're praying, and praying, and praying. So our fiscal year begins July 1st, so we're working on the budget right now. We have several sub-teams that are working on that. The comp and benefits team is working on what do we need to pay our staff and are we paying them well, and comparing to other churches and checking and making sure we're doing all right there, and also making plans for our future pastor as well. Our accounting team is projecting giving for the next year, looking at what we've been receiving and making sure that we're being both conservative but also trusting that God is continuing to call this church forward. And so we want to be able to continue to do as much of what we've been doing as possible and not pull back too much out of fear in this season. We also have a building evaluation team. That's another temporary sub-team right now, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that soon, but they are working through all the costs associated with this building. When we decided to enter into an agreement to purchase this building a few years back, we knew it needed some work, but the farther we get into things, the more we're seeing what the costs are. So that team is really trying to figure out what precisely are all the costs associated with this building and how do we plan to pay for them and those sorts of things. So as we're becoming a grown-up church spiritually and becoming who we fully are, we are also becoming grown-ups in the sense of we have a house that we have to keep track of and take care of and all those things. And so we need to look at it not as an annoyance, but as just one of the responsibilities, and we need to have a space to do these things, and this is our space to do these things. So we're continuing to make sure that we're being wise with those resources that God has entrusted with and the money that you all have given to us. We want to be very faithful in how that is spent. So planning ahead for that. And then the staff is also working on ministry budgets and things like that, so we can continue to do all these things that you've heard about some and we'll hear about more this morning. In the interim, we do have some changes. Christina has graciously stepped up to become our interim administrative pastor, so taking care of a lot of the day-to-day things that would have fallen previously on Charlie as the lead pastor. We're also looking at things like Pulpitville. When we've got bringing people in from outside, we'll be paying them honorariums and things like that. So planning for all of those things. As far as the building evaluation team goes, touched on that a little bit, but we have a group of about 8 or 10 people, and we're looking at what are the uses of this building and what are the actual needs, what are our current uses, what are our future needs, and then getting precise costs, getting roofers in, getting HVAC contractors in, and trying to figure out what all those costs are, looking at our options and how to fund those things. And I would wish I could tell you more, but we're still at a very broad brainstorming type phase and still trying to get lots of quotes and things like that. But I will be coming back to you as we move forward and just kind of keeping you abreast on how all that's going. I know you all probably aren't as interested in it as I am, and I'll try and keep that in mind as well. So that's kind of an overview of the resource team. One of the other things that I don't know that we've really mentioned, but we're also looking into the less exciting things like security protocols and things like that, making sure that we're keeping everyone safe around here and just that we're planning for the worst, but hoping for the best and all of those things. So just know that there are people in this building and on these teams that really do work tirelessly to make sure that Imago is set up as best as they possibly can be. So thank you all again.
All right, now I get to talk about something that I think is more fun than that, and that's foster care and adoption. So you guys have probably seen either through emails or Facebook or me just getting up here and talking about it constantly that we are stepping into kind of a second phase of our foster care and adoption ministry here at Imago. And with that, we have the new name Surround. And in the last couple of weeks, or I guess last couple of months, we have seen some really great growth in that. We have had lots of families in this building who are in the community, who haven't had great resources or just looking for more support. So lots of people from outside our church who are already doing the great work of bringing kids into their home and loving them. And we are coming around them as a community in really great ways. So a couple of those things coming up that we have going on are our annual Family Corps luncheon, where we get to honor their staff and say thank you for doing work that is incredibly difficult day in and day out. So that's coming up in a couple of weeks. And so if you want to get involved with things like that, you can sign up on a little piece of paper out there and I'll keep you informed via email, ways to serve like that. We also have a lot of support going on for our connection group. Our connection group is basically a spot for those foster parents or adoptive parents who need support in the trenches. It can be really hard to know what to do for kids who weren't born to you. And so we are coming alongside them with great resources. Dustin and I were able to attend a training in the first few months of this year, and it's going to empower people to make progress with their kiddos and to really help families thrive. And so we're excited about offering those courses here. So if you, whether you are a foster or adoptive family or you just know someone, you're like, oh, I know this person, point them our direction. We are really looking forward to coming alongside families in our community who need it. It'll be a 9-week course. There'll be food provided. We're looking for people to come alongside and say, hey, I do not want to do that, but I want to make food for them when they come. So there's all kinds of ways to really surround people. See what I did there? See, surround. Okay. So that's what we're doing with that ministry. It's one of my deepest passions. And I just want to say thank you for the way you've engaged. And I know, I think I created an email list with who wanted to be a sustainer, which are people who are kind of coming alongside, not necessarily fostering or adopting, but coming alongside those families. I think the list was like 30 people who've signed up. So I'm sure there are more because we're not great at signing up for things. So that's really awesome. So thank you so much for doing that. I can't wait to see the way that God continues to move in families, that we see kiddos come to full levels of healing and families be supported and feel like they're cared for and seen and known and loved. So thank you guys very much for that.
Hey, hey. I also wanted to update you. Hey, hey. update you about Genesis and what's going in there. We really care about the care and the formation of our kiddos. And it's not just me or the ministry team, but it's our leadership team and it's all the faithful volunteers that we have in Genesis. So much happens in those early years of worldview and faith formation, and so it's really crucial. So we have a renewed commitment to improving Genesis and making sure that we are doing our best to partner with families as we nurture that faith in these precious kiddos. So I wanted to mention a few areas that we're going to focus on that we've kind of already been moving on this year, but I think we're going to continue to improve. The first is leadership. I'll say the three. Leadership, environment, and balance. So in terms of leadership, making sure that we are planning ahead, that we are organized, that everything is running smoothly, that we're communicating to parents, that we're communicating to the church, making sure things are obvious and accessible. And also vision. Why are we doing this? Why is it important to minister, to have a children's ministry that's thriving? And one of the biggest improvements that has happened this year is Holly Earlson. She joined me as the Genesis assistant. So since January, she's been roaming the halls because I'm kind of here, there, and everywhere on Sunday mornings. So she comes 45 minutes early, gets the room set up, and helps that initial transition when it's kind of chaotic and there's new families that need to know what they're doing and we're waiting on, what do the teachers need and whatever. Holly Earlson has been awesome support there. And joined in our Genesis leadership team that was already, I think, got most things covered. So in terms of environment, we want to continue to spruce up the rooms, make sure we have everything supplied, but also assessing what's the safety, issues. We have to make sure things are childproof, of course. And so I think we're constantly assessing that, but also developmentally, where are kids at? What are the rooms, those ages that those kids are in, and how do those need to be developmentally appropriate and accessible with different sensory items, different, colors and learning toys and such. And making sure each space is conducive both to fun and also learning. So making sure all of our Genesis, the environment is that. So you'll see some improvements going on in that regard. And then lastly, bringing some variety and balance, making sure that we're looking at Genesis holistically. Christina mentioned the three circles of our logo being spiritual practices, community, and mission. And I know our Genesis leadership team looks at that as a filter on, if we're saying for us as adults and following Jesus that these three areas are crucial, then how are we investing in those areas as kids? How are we raising the kids up to know what a life of mission is like? Or how to engage in spiritual practices like prayer and singing? And how do we help to foster community even amongst classrooms and amongst families through Genesis? And so we're constantly thinking about balance, so that because what we do isn't just classroom learning or just babysitting fun all the time, but it's both of those things and also helping to form a whole child. So that's what we're doing in Genesis. Thank you.
Okay, so we are, believe it or not, now that the weather is nicer, it feels like summer is coming. And so we have things that we plan to help us do community with one another outside of this building. So some of the things that we've done in the past that we're going to continue to do are our church picnic. And that's always a fun time. We have a place where the kids can play, and I think we'll reserve enough pavilions so we won't have other people that will make us feel awkward and strange. And so it's always a good time to be there for the picnic. And then we also do an Imago Day pool party where we reserve the pool at Lakeview Pool, and you can bring your family, and you can just come, and we have a nice time there, too. So it's a great time to meet people that you don't particularly know well, and get to know them a little bit better, and just to have some fun and work on the community part of our circles. Now, it's not summer yet, and so right now, after service today, we have something starting that's called Imago Story. And I knew you were getting a lot of information about what Imago is today, but there's more. And if you wanted to come and stay in the Parkview Room after church, we'll be talking all about that. And that's a wonderful place to meet people who are newer to the church, people who are visiting the church, or people who have been around for a long time like me and just kind of hang out there just for fun to meet everybody else. So I highly recommend the Imago Story class. Every time I'm there, I learn something new about the building and I get to meet new, wonderful people. So we have lots of activities and things like that. So watch the website for things like that and the Facebook page. And there's all sorts of ways that we communicate all those activities to you. So looking forward to this next season of community with one another. Thanks.
Hey, hey again. All right, so next up is small groups. Small groups are one of those rare gems, I think, of Imago that when we do them really well. And so we want to continue to expand that. Small groups are really crucial. They helped to really launch our church. And I think we haven't given as much attention to them as I think we would like to. And so we really want to make sure we're doing that moving forward. The reason why is because small group life is about relationships, and certain things can only happen face to face. So when you are all facing this direction, looking at one person, that doesn't save the same function as sitting in a living room, sitting around a dining room table, eating a meal together, having a conversation. There's something beautiful and dynamic that happens in small groups that cannot happen on a Sunday morning. And so it just helps. It helps deepen friendships and really journey with people who are on a similar faith. And really, I think it brings to life the value that we have as being part of each other's family. It also is a place for support and care. That time and time again, we've realized that so much happens in small groups that's intangible often. That sometimes life gives you lemons, and people in small group are the most empowered and equipped to help you walk through tough times in life. Whether it's relationships and you need to, or you come home from, you know, and vent from work or whatever, that small groups are such a safe place to be able to just be real. But also on the positive side, you have people in your corner that help you to celebrate milestones, whether that's a new foster placement or whether that is getting a promotion at work or having, you know, a 68th birthday, Steve, or whatever, you know, important milestones in your life. Small groups can be there to rally around you. And I've always been a fan of small groups, so I'm really excited that we're taking a new commitment to them, because I am the person that I am today because of the small groups I've had. It's been a safe space for me to explore my faith, to journey with people, to just be myself, know that there are people who care about me, there are people who understand me and still like me. Like, that is such a powerful thing that sometimes we just don't get. And so I hope that if you're not in a small group, as we provide more opportunities, that you will join in and you will ask questions and you will pray with people and vent, you know, about your day to those people and really dive in. So anyway, so I say all this. Now let me get to some of the practical ways that we hope to do this, so it's not just in theory, because small groups are a hard thing to actually put into place. So three strategies that I think we can easily improve. First is visibility, because I think it's almost been like sometimes it feels like a secret club, those who are in small groups and those who are not, and it's kind of hard to find who's in them and who's out. That's not ever been the intention, but I think that is how it sometimes has come across. So Christina has a team that's working on a new website, and when that is launched, we are going to make sure to emphasize small groups and have that be featured on the new website. We also just want to talk about our groups more from up front, so you know what is happening, both in current groups and also new groups that are forming, which is the second strategy, to increase opportunities for people to join small groups, starting more. I think we have about 8 groups. Brian was asking when they visited for the search committee. I think we have about 8 groups going on currently. We could easily add more this year. And we've been really good about launching 2 or 3 groups during Lent, and some of those continue on because they really jive. But even more than just once a year, we're going to launch new groups. So be on the lookout for that. And then thirdly, if we're having more groups, not just throwing them to the wolves and say, okay, now you go, you know, have fun, but to give them guidance and give them a support and have times where we're bringing small group leaders together for huddles, and also to provide quarterly resources that would be an optional emphasis, things like vulnerability or Lectio Divina or racial reconciliation, compiling some resources to be able to give to group leaders and say, hey, if you like hosting, but maybe you don't like finding resources, well, we'll give that to you in a way that's easy to implement. So those are kind of the 3 ways that we hope to approach small groups. But there's another area slightly related to this I'm also going to talk about, and that is spiritual direction. You may have heard that term be thrown around. Vicky Brown, who usually sits right here next to Corey, we've both been trained in spiritual direction. Vicky is far more of an expert than I am, so please ask her any questions. She wasn't here, so I would have made her do this part. But so we've been experimenting with a couple different approaches to spiritual direction. One is one-on-one spiritual direction, and it's really sacred companioning is another term that's used, which probably gives it a little bit more of the connotation. It's an approach where you are sitting with someone and you are listening, and you are just honoring them in their spiritual journey, listening to them and helping them to notice where is God moving in their life. And so it's almost like a counseling setting, but it's not as intimidating maybe, but it's similar to that. So that's its maybe more purest one-on-one form. There's also a newer approach that we've been experimenting with that's been going really well. And I think from what I've not been in the groups, but I've heard God is doing great things. So there's 2 group spiritual direction groups. So whereas small groups typically are more based in homes. They're meeting, you know, 2, 3, 4 times a month. Group spiritual direction is a group that meets with a specific purpose about talking about our spiritual walk with Jesus. And it's meeting about once a month. And so this would be specifically focusing on helping one another notice how the Spirit is working in your life. And so Vicky trains the groups on how to do techniques of discernment and listening and helping people just share what God is doing. Because sometimes we believe he is with us all the time and we believe that he works in the day-to-day, but it's hard to notice that or maybe bring language to that. And so that's kind of what these groups are designed for. So she actually, after the second one launched, I was like, how are you feeling about this? She said, I feel so like enthusiastic about these spiritual direction groups. I would start as many groups as there was demand for. So, and she, if you know Vicky, when she says something, she's serious about it. And so if you are interested at all in doing something like that, then please talk to Vicky or myself. And we'll also try to promote those when we know those are happening. So wanted to let you know about that as well. Thank you.
I'm here to talk about volunteering. If you've been around churches much, you know there's like a common thing that 20% of the people do all the work. But like so many other things, we got it backwards. Christina ran the numbers. About 80% of the people who come are volunteering. They're doing something. So thank you. More than anything else, I'm still going to beg you for more stuff. But thank you for what you're already doing. And we're trying to get better about how to connect people with the things that are truly passionate about. Because at least for me, serving was how I got more connected here, and whether it's Breakfast Club or the community garden or things like that, that's been really valuable for me. So we're trying to get better about that. We have a form on the website now, which I actually didn't know there was there until recently, where all of the current things we're doing are listed, and then you can also say, actually, I want to do this also. Because despite having 80% of people doing stuff, we do a lot of stuff. So we do need more help with a lot of those things, and we're always looking for new ways to serve our community and our body. So just a couple specific things. The worship team up here, we have 3 new leaders now, which is really cool to get more leadership styles and voices coming from the front, but we are looking for more musicians. Not me, but talk to Dave Lynn or Dustin if you are musical and would like to help with that. Specifically pianists, guitarists, drummers, and egg shakers. We also need, for Breakfast Club, which is one of the biggest things we do, we need van drivers, van monitors, and we need servers. So if you have a driver's license and an alarm clock, please come help us. And then Genesis, which is our children's ministry, like Dustin talked about. If Imago's good at one thing, it's volunteering. If it's 2 things, it's volunteering and having lots of kids. So we want that to be a really good spot for those kids and for those families. So we need more volunteers for that all time, whether it's once a month, every week, whatever we can do to make sure that that's a good spot. And then the last thing is the Sunday environment. So there's a million things going behind the scenes all time. Dustin takes care of that stuff. But the welcome team, the coffee team, the info booth, and security. Those teams, what? And tech team, which is not like Avengers. They're just up there. So if you have any of those skill sets, please talk to Dustin, and we'll get you put into that. Thank you.
Hey, Brian and I were over here talking when Dustin was talking. We thought he said team leadership cuddles, not huddles. I thought that was a whole different level of leadership development than I'm accustomed to. So listen, I want to talk to you about, so what are we going to do for Sunday morning sermons and pulpit fill in the interim while we're searching for this new pastor? And I'm really excited about what's going to happen the next 5 months. Often when your teaching pastor steps down, you kind of take a hit. You go from a certain quality of teaching to just who can talk in front of people. And that's not always great. I'm super excited because the bulk of the teaching that's going to happen over the next 5 or 6 months are going to come directly from people who attend Imago regularly. And we've tried to diversify the voices. We're trying to decentralize from white, straight, male voices, even though we have a lot of them. We're trying to increase space for women, people of color, individuals who identify as queer, to be able to speak and to share up front here. And we're super excited about it. So the name of the series we're going to do over the next 5 months is called Ethos. And the definition of ethos is this. It's the characteristic spirit of a culture, era, and community as manifested in its beliefs and aspirations. So as we think about who we are, and we're trying to maintain a sense of unity among Imago, we're taking a look at who we are, like as an identity. And so we've landed on these five things, and these will be the five general themes. We are lovers of Jesus. Unequivocally, if there was any doubt on whether or not Imago was a universalist church, it's not. We love Jesus, and he is central to our faith. But we're also apprentices. We're people in process, right? And at different stages in our journey, some coming to faith, some leaving the faith, and that's okay. We've got room for everybody. But we're also explorers, meaning that we seek Jesus in all things. But we're also servants, and we're also a family. So those are the five themes that we're going to explore. We're going to do that primarily with people from our own congregation that have the gift of teaching that are going to share with us. But we're also going to bring in some local people as well, some that you might know, some that you might not know, to help kind of bolster some of our speaking, give us a broader perspective. We don't want to end up in an echo chamber at Imago either, so we need outside voices. And then I'm really excited about some of the national speakers we're going to bring in. We've got several that we're looking at right now that can really, I think, bring something to Imago that's I don't know, it's just kind of cool, right? So we're looking at Rick Lawrence has already committed. He's going to come in and he's going to talk about the Jesus-centered life. And that'll be at the beginning of June. What does it mean to live a Jesus-centered life? He wrote a book about this. And it's just, Rick's a friend of mine, and it's just a great conversation. He's also going to do a Saturday night workshop on what it means to have spiritual grit. How do we harness resilience during times of suffering? So, I mean, if you know Imago, you know that none of us suffer here. So it's probably not relevant. We're also looking at Daniel Schroyer, who is a pastor down in Texas. And she wrote a book a few years ago called The Original Blessing. And she's going to come to us and talk to us about the nature of sin and what it is and what it isn't and why Jesus cared very little about it, honestly. And that he was more concerned about your identity. More so than letting sin define who you are. And then more recently, I've been talking with Deborah Jian Lee, who wrote a book called Rescuing Jesus, which is about how marginalized individuals within the Christian faith are reclaiming that faith, people of color, women, and gay Christians. And we're looking at having her come in to share with us as well. And she'll do a Saturday night workshop as well. We're just trying to nail down the dates. So I'm super excited just about the voices, the diversity of voices that are going to continue to shape Imago as we move forward.
And I'm back. Do you feel like you're seeing these same faces over and over again? One more time. We're ready to move into a time of communion together. It's one of my favorite parts of our life together as an Imago Dei church. So it's a chance for us to come to the table together and just be equal, and I'll be with God during that time. So one of the things that we've talked about a lot is that we use the Apostles' Creed as we start the communion process. And it's a part of a core of our central beliefs that pull us together. One of the things that's different is that we have faith in community more than just faith as individuals. And part of what that means is we're alongside people who are at all different places in their faith. They might be full of doubt one Sunday and not understand anything. Maybe they don't believe in any of this stuff. And you might have someone who feels really strongly and is feeling good about their faith situation. And we're together, so that's what brings all that part, that we can support each other during that. I want to read a quote from one of my very favorite pastors who makes me super proud to be a recovering Lutheran. Nadia Boltz-Weber is amazing. And so someone asked her about the Apostles' Creed and, you know, does she believe all the things in the Apostles' Creed? And I'm just going to read her words first. She said, "We've individualized this thing of faith in a way that makes it inaccessible to people because they're like, well, I don't know if I believe this, like the Apostles' Creed.
I can't say the creed because I don't know if I believe every line in the creed. And I'm like, oh my God, nobody believes every line of the creed. But in a room of people, for each line of the creed, somebody believes it. So we're covered, right? I love that. And I think that's absolutely true of us. If you're coming in and parts of your life are falling apart and you just don't know what you think about all this Christianity stuff, you are with people who probably feel the same way and people who love you no matter what you're feeling. So we're going to, for our Apostles' Creed today, we actually have a video to reflect some of the voices of Imago. Honestly, we could record this 100 times and still not reflect all the diversity of people here, but this is a start. So for our Apostles' Creed today, you can just sit and say it along with us. Probably silently, trying to match a video is a little awkward and tricky, so don't do that. But just share some of the voices with that, and then as soon as the video is done, we'll step up and take communion together.